You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit goleminstitute.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, today in the recitation, we recited a very beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Such a beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed Allah and the angels send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, Allah and the angels send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scholars say what this means is that Allah showers His mercy upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the angels sending salawat for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what that means is that they raise their hands and they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had the support of the angels. The angels were constantly making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, at times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua for certain of his companions that, oh Allah, allow him to be also supported by the angels. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he was known as being the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And poetry was the key, was the main medium of publicity. It was the media, it was the news, it was, you know, BBC, it was CNN. People would communicate on a very high level through poetry. And whatever the poet said is what would influence the masses. So people were composing poetry against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to Hassan bin Thabit, it's time for you to take the podium now and rebuttal them and fight them back with your poetry. And Hassan bin Thabit says, O Messenger of Allah, if you appoint me to be your spokesman, watch what I can do. And he takes the podium and he begins to, you know, compose poetry. And as he's saying the poetry, he's on the podium composing the poetry. The Sahaba are sitting in the gathering. The Prophet is on the sideline. And he keeps saying, Allahumma ayyidhu bi ruhil qudus. Allahumma ayyidhu bi ruhil qudus. You know, like kind of cheering his team on. Oh Allah, give support to Hassan bin Thabit through the ruhul qudus. And ruhul qudus is Jibreel alayhi salam. Allow Jibreel to be the support for Hassan bin Thabit. Now for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Malaikatahu." The angels are also sending salutations. They're sending salawat, meaning they're making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end, he instructs us. He says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu," all those who believe. Now note here, Allah says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu," all those who believe, because we as believers owe a very big debt to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This isn't special for us. Allah says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu," all those who believe. صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Send salutations upon him and also send peace and blessings upon him as well. Now, the scholars, they say under the tafsir of this verse that this honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this verse is unmatched. And no other Nabi before was ever given honor like this. Even Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, he instructed the angels to prostrate. Allah said to the angels, you prostrate. But when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Himself says, "Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi." That when it comes to honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I myself will take part in the honoring of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the angels are participating. Right, Adam alayhi salam, for him it was the angels that were honoring him. Allah says, "I myself am joining in to honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The angels are honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All those who believe, why don't you join the team of people who are always honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very, very special person. The sacrifices the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made were such, and they were so amazing. They were so unique that no other person can ever match the sacrifice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he was made to sacrifice at a young age. Tell me, which child can stand by the side of his mother and hold her hand as she breathes her last? Tell me, which child has a heart to do this and not go insane at the end of it? And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is holding his mother's hand, and his mother is passing away, and his mother is saying to him, my son, don't fear, don't worry, Allah won't waste you. When I was expecting you, when you were in my womb, I felt no pain at all. You were never a burden on me, my son. And she's telling her son that, you know, when I walked, I heard the trees and the stones saying to me, "Assalamu alayka ya umma Rasulillah," that may peace be upon you, right, O mother of the messenger. She said that you are the best thing that ever happened to me. And even though I'm leaving you, Allah will never waste you. And here the six-year-old child, what is a six-year-old kid? What is a six-year-old kid? And the six-year-old kid is listening to his mother and he's taking it all in. You know, a normal human being would collapse there with the mother. But here this man was made of such a unique heart that from a young age, he was someone that can even hold the death of his own mother. And then beyond that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every day that passes in his life, a new challenge comes. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the masjid and he's praying salah right in front of the Kaaba. And one of the people decides to pull a prank on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he takes a dead animal and puts it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's under pressure and he can't lift himself up because of the weight on his back. And everyone is laughing at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his daughter, she comes and removes that fetus from the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then she holds and hugs her father. And her father says to her, "My daughter, don't cry. You know, Allah will reward us in the hereafter." You know, there are tons of stories of the sacrifice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made for the sake of this ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the battlefield, and before he starts the battle of Badr, before the battle of Badr even starts, the Muslims are lined up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually, he'll start from the night before. The night before, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells the Muslims, "Everyone go to sleep." He tells his army, "Go to sleep." Right? Who can sleep before the night before a battle? And he's telling everyone, "You go to sleep." And Allah says in the Quran that we favored the believers by giving them sleep the night before the battle so that they were focused in the battle itself. Allah said, "We revealed sakina on them and everyone went to sleep." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after putting everyone to sleep, he himself went to a nearby tent and went there and started making dua. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, "In the middle of the night I woke up and I began to search for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I couldn't see him. He wasn't any of the people that were lying down. So I went outside and I saw in the tent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making dua there. And I stood there and I watched the Prophet making dua, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was saying, 'Ya Allah, tomorrow if we lose in the battle, tomorrow if we lose, there will be no one to worship you in this world until the day of judgment.'" And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rubbed the Prophet's back and said, "O Messenger of Allah, that's enough. You've done your job now. Tomorrow let's see what happens." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Fajr Salah, Bilal radiallahu anhu gives the adhan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leads the Fajr prayer. After Fajr prayer, the Prophet tells the Sahaba, "Line up yourselves." And the Sahaba, they line up. And as they're lined up, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins to advise them, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha laqitum fi'atan fathbutu wadhkurullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun wa ati'u Allaha wa rasulahu wa la tanaza'u fatafshalu wa tadhhaba rihukum wasbiru inna Allaha ma'as sabirin wa la takunu kalladhina kharaju min diyari." All these verses he's reciting, that be firm, be strong, do the dhikr of Allah. If you get a little nervous, do the dhikr of Allah. Be obedient to everything I tell you. Be obedient to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And he's telling the Sahaba, straighten your lines. And there's one very interesting narration that is mentioned, that there was a Sahabi who was standing in line for war and his chest was sticking out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his staff, and while he was making his rounds through the lines to make sure everyone was ready, he poked that Sahabi in the chest and said, "Oh man, stand straight." So he said, "O Messenger of Allah, you just hurt me, I want my revenge." Battle's about to start, the enemy's on that side, and this guy's talking about revenge because the Prophet just poked him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he removes his garment, his upper garment, he loosens it a little, gives the man the staff and he says, "Take your revenge right now. We don't know whether we're going to live after this day." And this person, he drops the staff and he embraces the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "O Messenger of Allah, how can I go to Jannah if I take revenge from you? I just want this to be the last memory of my life that I had embraced the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And the Sahaba, they say that later on that day, we pulled his body out of the battlefield. That was actually his last moment before the battle. For the Sahaba, they understood how important the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in their life. And it seems as if we don't realize it. We don't realize, because we live in a society where everyone talks about God, but no one talks about the Prophet. As Muslims, our iman is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever we say, "La ilaha illallah," what's after that? And when the angel's going to come in your grave and ask you, "Man Rabbuk," what's the next question he's going to ask? "Man Nabiyuk." In the adhan, when we say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah," what's the next statement? In the salah, when we say, "Attahiyyatu lillah," what's after that? The next dua. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina. It's like they both are connected in our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger. And the person who lacks in love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's as if he hasn't understood what faith is. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in his own words, that person's faith is incomplete. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ووالده والناس يجمعين. that one of you can never have complete faith until I am more beloved to him than his child, his father in all of mankind. Now look at the words. He said, his child, his father in all of mankind. Okay, no, sorry. I'm going to say that again. Min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. His father, his child, and all of mankind. It says first here, the father, then the child, then all of mankind. Now an interesting point is, does the child usually love the father more, or does the father usually love the child more? Usually the father loves the child more, right? Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it make more sense that if the child was first, father was second, and the rest of mankind third? Yeah. But the scholars, they say the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said father first is because everyone has a father, not everyone has a child. So every person can relate to this hadith, that you must learn to love the Prophet ﷺ even more than you love yourself. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he heard the Prophet saying this, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than everyone. But I'm just going to give you some real talk. I don't love you more than myself yet. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Umar, your iman's not complete then. Yes. You want real talk? I'll give you some real talk. Your iman's not complete. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he turns to his heart for a moment and he says, Ya Rasulullah, now I promise I love you more than myself. If that means sacrificing myself for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar is ready for that. Right? Umar is ready to do whatever it takes for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were people who really loved the Prophet because they understood how great of a bounty he was. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a mercy. His teachings are a mercy. When we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find ease in it. We find comfort in it. When we follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find a complete pathway. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was merciful to everyone. He was all-inclusive. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the student, he was a teacher. To the orphan, he was a father, right? To the wife, he was a husband. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a friend to the one who needed a friend. At the time of battle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a general. And when it came time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most sincere and humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all of this honor, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would still stand in the night and spend his entire night praying for you and I. And the question is, when was the last time you and I actually said, Ya Allah, I actually miss the Prophet? Who's sitting here can actually say that? That, you know, the other day I was going through a difficult time and I actually thought to myself that if the Prophet was here, I could have gone to him for advice. He would have helped me out so much. You know, the Sahaba, they went to the Prophet. Anytime they had anything, they would immediately turn to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left them, that was the hardest part, because they realized in the morning when they would wake up, if they had an issue, they couldn't go to the Prophet anymore. Now they were on their own. When they buried the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the toughest reality for them to digest. You know, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu were one day sitting together after the Prophet had passed away. And Abu Bakr said to Umar, let's talk about the Prophet. And Umar said to Abu Bakr, you start. Abu Bakr remained silent, Umar remained silent, that's the end of the narration. No one can say anything, because they were both lost in words. Where do we start and where do we end? How do we talk about the joy the Prophet brought when he entered into the gathering? How do we talk about his innocence? How do we talk about his smile? How do we talk about his bravery? How does a person talk about his intellect? How does a person talk about how complete he was and how his revelation came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even things like the sweat on the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that when the sweat on the would perspire on the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was as if there were pearls sitting on the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They found beauty in that too. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down, they found beauty in that too. Everything about him, they were connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why when the companions, I'll show you with Bilal radiallahu anhu's a story. Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he was passing away, his wife was sitting by his side and she was crying. But oh, my son's dying. Wa karbah, what a difficult day. And he said to her, don't cry. I've been waiting for this day since the Prophet passed away. Because tomorrow I'm going to be with the Prophet. Since the Prophet died, I couldn't go back to Medina anymore. I've been living in Sham all these years because I can't... You know, Medina reminds me too much of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you have the likes of Mu'adh bin Jabal, who when he is being told, the Prophet is telling him, the Prophet is sending him off to Yemen. And while he's meeting the Prophet the last time, the Prophet tells him, Mu'adh, next time you come back to Medina, I won't be here, my grave will be here. And Mu'adh breaks down into pieces. Because he can't imagine living without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What would the world be without that mercy? You know, a companion is sitting in the gathering of the Prophet and he's sad. The Prophet didn't like seeing anyone sad. He liked everyone cheered up. So he saw the Sahabi, he said, why are you sad? He said, O Messenger of Allah, do we really have to go to Jannah? I mean, what an interesting question, right? Do we really have to go to Jannah? The Prophet said, why? He said, O Messenger of Allah, you know, in Jannah you're going to be up there with all the ballers, all the pious people, all the prophets, and average people like me are going to be way down here. I'd rather we not go to Jannah and just stay in Medina Munawwara. So average people like me can come and see you every day as well. Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to him, "Anta ma'a man ahbabt," that you will be with the one who you love. And that's the value of loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day speaking to the Sahaba, and he said to them that the one who will be closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who sends salutation upon me in great abundance, the most. The one who sends salutation upon me the most will be the closest to me on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as long as you send salawat on me, as long as you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, the angels are sending salawat on you. So now it's your choice. Read it abundantly or read it a little. When this ayah was revealed, when the companions were told, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. The companion said, O Messenger of Allah, the hadith is in Bukhari. The Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, we know how to send salam upon you, but how do we send salat upon you? How do we send salutations upon you? At that point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qulu, say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Say this, and this is as if you are sending salutations upon me. And by sending salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are admitting to our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are making ourselves worthy of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are making ourselves worthy to drink from the blessed hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the hawl on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that by sending salutations upon me, you're not doing me a favor, you're doing yourself a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. How are you doing yourself a favor? Man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra. That whoever sends salutations upon me once, Allah will send 10 salutations upon you. So you're doing yourself a favor. Ubay bin Ka'b, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the famous narration in Tirmidhi, that O Messenger of Allah, I have allocated a time to do ibadah every day. For example, a few hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was. And I have decided that I will use 1/4 of that time to send salutations upon you. The rest of it, I'm going to read Quran, do dhikr, this, that, and the other. Is that good enough? The Prophet said, well, that's good, but if you do more, it's better. He said, okay, how about half of my time? The Prophet said, that's good, but more better. He said, okay, how about two-thirds of my time? The Prophet said, look, it's good, but if you do more, better. He said, O Messenger of Allah, you know what? All of my ibadah time is going to be used to send salutations upon you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do that, Allah will take care of all of your needs. Allah will remove from you any grievances you have, any difficulties you have. You know, إِذَن تُقْفَى هَمَّكَ. Allah will remove all of your hum, all of your worries. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also forgive your sins. You know, I remember one time my teacher came to Chicago. And a man from my community, he went to our sheikh and said to him, Sheikh, I have an issue with my business. What should I do? Is there any dua that you can give me to read? I'm having a tough time with my work and my business. So the sheikh said to him, our teacher said to him, read salawat on the Prophet abundantly. And this man, I remember he called the teacher, my sheikh, a few weeks later and said, Sheikh, since I started sending salawat on the Prophet, all of my worries have gone away. All of my issues have gone away. That's the connection. You know, when a person sends salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they build a connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one narration, if I'm correct, if my memory does correct, it's in Tabrani. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Imam Tabrani narrates it in his Mujam, that whoever sends 10 salutations upon me, I'm making a mistake, either it's 10 or 20, I read this narration a long time ago. I'm just going to quote the 20 narration, but it could also be 10. I apologize for this. Whoever sends 20 salutations upon me in the morning, and then 20 in the evening, I guarantee that person my intercession on the Day of Judgment. So here we learn from this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love is very important for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran is instructing us that develop a relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the adults should instill in the heart of their young ones to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to build an attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our community, unfortunately, I must say it, and I'll say it very clearly, it is very hard to find people who actually take out time to send durood and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Almost unfound, unheard of. Back home, people used to take out time. They would sit down and, you know, read poetry in the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would read the seerah, and they would read the shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would read salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a blessing, and if we connect ourselves with him, we are the beneficiaries. Our families are the beneficiaries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will instill barakah in our lives. So with that, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq and ability to use a portion of our Ramadan to also make special dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to allocate a part of our ibadah also in sending salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all burial in the graveyard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he resurrects us all behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to walk right behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.